In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening, Father.
It's good to see so many of you dressed up like this, dressed up in good costumes. Some of my favorite saints who are here. You'll hear some of them that I'll mention even during this time here in the homily. But before we get into that, I want to point out a few things to you. Remember, today is the Day of All Saints, which makes tomorrow what? All Souls. And so All Souls is a great feast day too. It's not a feast day that we usually celebrate with all sorts of rattles and excited music, but it's a day we honor with a great bit of sobriety because we remember today all the souls who made it to heaven. Tomorrow we remember all the souls who haven't yet made it to heaven. Those are the souls who are suffering in purgatory and who depend upon our prayers, our orisons, our recitations of the rosary, the sacrifices that we offer. Why? Because not a single soul that's in purgatory can do anything for themselves. But make no mistake, they can pray for you. They can intercede for you. That's a great grace. But they can't do anything for themselves, so it's on us to do. So for them, what do we do? Well, starting today is November what? November 1st. And because it's November 1st, that means we begin the octave of All Souls. Octave means eight. So 8 days where we celebrate the feast that we're celebrating today, the Feast of All Saints, there's an indulgence that each one of you can earn. All you have to do is to go to a cemetery and pray. Whether it's for an hour or for 30 seconds, even for three, pray for the poor souls. All the other things that are necessary to gain a plenty of indulgence apply. You do those things. You can gain an indulgence, not for yourself, but for the poor souls. A specific soul, maybe you know who's passed in your family or among your friends over this past year that you desire to spring from purgatory, or souls in general who have no one to pray for them. Offer that soul. Offer that for them. Because one day, God willing, that soul that's suffering in purgatory, which by the way is a great thing, that's going to be you or me. Today's the day, this is the week, the octave, and the month where we set them free. Because even if you go outside this 8 days that are here, a partial indulgence is offered for doing the exact same thing every day during the month of November, which is dedicated to the poor souls. Tomorrow, our Mass is at noon. If you want to go to Fort Sumner, we're going to have it at 9 a.m. After each one of those Masses, Deacon and I are going to be going to the cemeteries to bless the graves. Bless the graves that you direct us to go to. Be a part of that. Be a part of the time that's after that, so that we can celebrate it with a great solemnity, do the feast that we have. See what our Lord has to share with us in the readings, in the homily, in the feast. The souls of the just are in the hands of God, and the torment of malice shall not touch them. In the sight of the unwise, it seems that they die, but they are in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That passage that we have right there is from the offertory antiphon used for this Mass, the antiphon that said right before the gifts are to be offered here today. The passage comes from what book of the Bible? Do you know? It's the book of wisdom. The book of wisdom. It's chapter 3. Maybe you recall that reading because we do it often for funerals. Often this is chosen for funerals. Maybe some of the funerals that we've had recently, some of them actually have used this very same passage for their first reading. But this passage is all about what? It's about the victory. The victory of the saints. The victory of the saints is what this passage is about. Why? This whole day is about the victory of the saints. Because they're alive. Victorious over the grave. They're still very much with us and close to us today. And that's the whole point of everything that I want to share with you today, is the closeness of the saints to you and to me. Yesterday, what did the secular world celebrate? Does anybody know? What did the secular world celebrate? You weren't paying attention. You were asleep. What? What was it? That's right, All Hallows Eve. That's right, All Hallows Eve, Halloween. Halloween, that was yesterday. Well, what does the world treat this as? This is a celebration of death without any reference to victory. It's a celebration of death without any reference to God. It's a kind of a glorification of death. And so we have all those hellish creatures. I saw some of you dressed as them last night as I came back from Fort Sumner. Like what? Like witches, like demons, like skeletons, like vampires, like ghouls, ghosts, and goblins in the rock. It's a feast that focuses on death without hope. And that's the difference. Because you and I, as we stand here today on All Saints, on All Hallows, that's today. It's a day that is full of hope because souls can make it to ride to be in splendor with God for eternity. That's what God made you for and what God made me for. St. Philip Neri, he's the patron saint of Albuquerque. He said that the great thing in life is to become a saint. St. Teresa of Jesus, she said that it is in the company of the saints that you and I become saints. We have a modern saying, a saying that we use often now that says, it's not so much what you know, it's not so much what you know, it's who you know. You heard that. In life, if you're going to advance, it's not so much what you can write down on paper to show what you know, it's who you know, the connections that you and I have. Well, if our life is more about the connections that we have, the who, rather than the what of what we know, so then who should we know? We should know the saints. We should know the saints. Why? Because if we know the saints, if we spend time with the saints, then brothers and sisters, you and I are going to become saints. Everybody in heaven is a saint. Nobody gets into heaven without being a saint. I'm not speaking of those holy men and women that you know that you interact with on a daily basis, your grandparents or your friends, these people you think really have it. I'm not talking about them. Spend time with them. Gain from their wisdom. But we're talking about the saints that now reside in our Campo Santo. That's what we call in Spanish the cemetery. We're talking about those saints who've already made it and arrived in heaven. Yes, spend time with those ones. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says this. It says, since we are now surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us hold fast. Let us stay strong in our confession of faith. That first reading that Tristan gave from us from the book of the Apocalypse, how many saints was it talking about in there? What was the number? Got to say it out loud. I'm really good at reading lips, but not that good. Four saints? No, there's more than four saints. 144,000. 144,000, but that's not saying how many saints it is. It's just symbolic number, meaning 12 by 12 by 1,000. Saying so many saints are going to be there, all surrounded by there, a great cloud of witnesses. Remember what we talked about just a few weeks ago. There is more which God created, which is unseen by your and my visible eyes than we could ever imagine seeing. 90% of what God created is the figure that some of the saints give us is unseen, as opposed to what is seen, the saints, the angels that are out there. So what our Lord calls us to, he calls us to recognize that, to be aware of the presence of the saints that are around us all the time. See, the more that we recognize that they're around us all the time, the more that we realize that we have access to their intercession in our lives, the less you and I are going to even want to fall into sin. Why? Because we'll see that the word made, that the world that tries to get us to go its way, that the flesh, our own human nature that tries to go in the opposite direction, and the devil, these three enemies of our soul, they always try to back us into a corner. To think that we're all alone in temptation. But the moment that you and I wake up and we realize that we have friends, friends in high places, that the saints are there ready to lower a escape rope down from heaven to get us to get out of that trap, then we won't have to fall into it. Because not a single of us is ever alone. Not for a moment. That's good news. That's what the gospel is all about. Have you and I, have we made some saintly connections in our life? Do we have some friends who are seated up there in high places? Do we have friends who are there in heaven? Think about the example of St. Catherine of Siena. She's a great saint, by the way, if you want to take her up for a confirmation saint someday. St. Catherine of Siena, a doctor of the church. St. Raymond of Capua writes about her life and tells us what went on in her prayer life. This is what he writes. He says, the Lord appeared very frequently to St. Catherine, and indeed, they had long conversations all throughout the night. Sometimes Jesus brought his most glorious mother to him, or St. Dominic, or both together. Or it might be Mary Magdalene, or John the Baptist, or Paul the Apostle, or many of the other saints, either all together or individually, according to the way that Jesus saw that it was fit to do. Isn't that amazing? That there are people in this life who have visits by saints. St. Teresa of Jesus, St. Teresa of Avila, she got the help that she needed in her daily tasks by visits from Our Lady, by visits from St. Joseph, by visits from St. Peter and Paul, St. Dominic, St. Clare, St. Peter of Alcantara. All these saints appeared to her and helped her, gave her advice about what she was supposed to do in the difficult circumstances of her day. They helped her get to heaven. So these saints are so involved within our lives. You know the saint, the little flower, St. Therese of Lisieux, you've heard of her, one of the great saints of our time. She received powerful graces in her life from her brothers and sisters who died in their infancy after having received baptism. Her brothers and sisters came down from heaven and gave her graces. That's how the saints work. She was visited and strengthened by Venerable St. Anne of Jesus, St. Francis de Sales, St. John Francis de Chantal. Those last two saints I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, those two saints founded the Visitation Order, for which produced great saints like St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who gave us this beautiful devotion popularized to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. St. John Francis de Chantal and St. Francis de Sales are two saints who worked intimately together. But St. Francis de Sales, he died first. And one of the first things that St. John Francis de Chantal did after he died is said, he is a saint in heaven. Let's work on getting his canonization process started. And as Fabian would tell you, who knows the process very well, One of the first things that they do after a person is named is blessed, what do? They take their bodies out, that's right. Exhume their bodies from the grave to see, did God give them a grace even in their flesh? And when they exhumed the body of the saint who had been buried for years and years and years underground with all the creepy crawly things, what did they find? When they opened it up, I'm reading to you from the exact annals that are written down. It says his body was found to be totally intact and supple, meaning soft to the touch. That it was fragrant, just like a perfume. That it was even somewhat warm to the touch, even though it was in the cold of the earth. Isn't this amazing? The body was even preserved in this way. The bishop was immediately afraid. He said, people are going to run after this body right now and strip it for relics, take his clothes off of him. And so he immediately forbade everyone who was around, saying, anyone who touches this saint's body will be excommunicated from the church. So he was left alone. Later that night, he gave the grace to the sisters of the Visitation Order, St. John Francis de Chantal, to go have the grace of venerating the hand, to kiss the hand of that saint who so often had given them a blessing in their lives. And so as the sisters went one by one by one to venerate that hand, that priestly hand of the saint, to kiss it, because it was not the hand of the saint, but the hand of Jesus Christ. When St. John Francis de Chantal approached at the end of the line, the last to venerate the hand of this great saint who she loved so much, as she approached to do it, the hand came alive. The hand raised itself up and gave her a blessing. How close are the saints to us? Do they desire to give us a blessing even in such great and amazing ways? These are the saints. This is what happens. So today when we venerate the saints, all of the saints, it's important to remind ourselves of what? That every good and perfect gift comes from who? God, the Father of heavenly lights. But secondly, to notice that God gives us saintly examples so they can point us how to get to heaven by following the same way they live their lives. The saints, thirdly, are saints who are incredibly interested in your life and in my life. That they are in heaven, but they want to work out things for your good and for my good here on earth. Brothers and sisters, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the faith. Yes, they are resting in peace, R.I.P., requiescant in pace. But they are very active in our lives if we allow them to be so. St. Thérèse of Lisieux was huge on this point. I want to share with you something that she said, because you know what? St. Thérèse of Lisieux, though she only lived to be 24 years old, died very young. She lived a very full life. There was a young seminarian by the name of Maurice. You can read their writings together, their exchanges, their letters. She took him up as a little brother in the faith and promised to pray for her as long as she would live and beyond. And so what happened was that in one of their exchanges, he was struggling with his own vocation, wondering where he should go. And she wrote back to him and she said this. She said, am I your little sister for nothing? No. She said, and I promise you that after my departure from this life for eternal life, I will give you a taste of happiness that can be found from feeling a friendly soul that is close by. Always. What is she saying? She's saying, even when you think that you're alone, after I leave this life, I'm going to be right there next to you, interceding for you, giving you graces so that you can make it to heaven. I want you to be in heaven. She said in another place, she said, I am going to spend my heaven doing good here on earth. All the saints do that. And later on, another one of her letters that she wrote to this young man who later became a priest, a seminarian, she said, look, she said, I believe that the blessed in heaven, they have great compassion for our miseries and sufferings. They remember that they were like us, very weak and mortal. So they committed the same faults that we ourselves find ourselves in, and they went through the same struggles that we do. And their fraternal tenderness and kindness toward us becomes still greater than it ever was on earth. On this account, they have never stopped watching over us and praying for us. Isn't that encouraging? St. Thérèse of Lisieux says they're always praying for us. She says again in another place, she says, the saints are not deaf to our pleas and to our needs. It is rather more likely that we are the ones who are deaf and dumb to the help that they desire to give to us. Let us call upon the saints in the midst of our needs. Let us confidently entrust to them our struggles, recognizing that they care for us. Let us make some saintly connections in this life because we have some friends who are in high places waiting for us to ask for their intercession in our lives. They want to help us, and our prayers to them open us to receive the graces that they already want to place within our lives. You young women in the front row, you young men who are here, you think that you've chosen saints for your confirmation. I tell you, false. These saints have chosen you. These saints have chosen to be your intercessors. We should always be every day of our lives a little bit more like Fabian in this respect. Always be reading a life of a saint. to come to know the saints. Why? Because so that we can get to know who they are, so that we can see how they fulfill the Beatitudes that Deacon proclaimed within the Gospel, so that we can come to know how is it that they made it through this life, which is a veil of tears. They made it to heaven. That was their ultimate goal. The great thing in this life, brothers and sisters, is to become a saint. For in the company of the saints, we become saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.